Okay. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence, your day, your time, knowing all things and all that lies ahead. Thank you for our country. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege of freely able to assemble together like this and consider you a wonderful person. And our God, we thank you for it. So deal with our hearts and heads, the sick, those that are away, and all the different things going on. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you may want to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. If I can. And if you remember this morning a little bit, as best we can, think of, if you would, of that God gives in the key word that marks us of all the countries of the world and in the light of all of history. There's a word that marks God's people, and that is liberty. And it is hardly ever found in the pages of history. You turn the pages of history, you'll hardly ever find it. It's there, little groups over here, group over there, but you won't find it, not there. Now, and we share together that this liberty, the truth, will set you free. Truth will set you free. Not you're just free, but truth will set you free. Truth will. The truth, the God of truth, the truth of God, will set you free. Now, and God says something else that helps us. He reminds us that you're either for me or against me. There is no middle ground. There is no middle, no aisle. You're either for or against. No other way. You can play with it, but there is no gray. There is no gray. And so God has given us liberty. What is liberty then? Liberty is the, when you get saved, liberty is the what? You're setting free from the bondage of your, all us humans, all of us in all of history. We all have the same old sin nature. We all belong to the same race. We all think and have the same dumb nature and the same problems with our sin, with the problem of sin. And we're all part of the God of this world. We're part of the world system, like it or not. That's where we are. Now, that's a bondage. You need to be saved from the state of death and from that bondage. When Christ died on the cross, he made it possible to be set free, not free for license, free to be able to be all that, in other words, the sin nature, the system we live in, keeps us in the dark and keeps us in a state of death, the absence of life. And so therefore, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, he brings us out of darkness into light, out of death into life. It's a transition, a transformation, a metamorphosis takes place for us. And we go from here to there, a state of without God to a state having God finding his home in our heart. Now, with that background, add a little more in the light of our 4th of July. And in order to do that, in Deuteronomy, just a reminder, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember Israel's assignment We've said it many, many times to remind ourselves. And in chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, I'll read it again. Keep therefore and do them, commandments, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations that are all looking at you, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, Israel, is a wise and understanding people. How can that be? For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And verse 8, for what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I have set before you this day? Now they were marked, they were a very special people, had a very special place in a very special way. They were to enjoy that specialness, that wonderful relationship to God, the wonderful freedom to be set free from sin because of Christ's death on the cross, and in order to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace and to be at liberty, freedom to what? To find the fullness and fruitfulness and fullness of life that God has provided, freed to exercise why you were created in the first place and why Christ died in the second place. Now, having said that, so therefore, in the light of that, so when we go through history, Israel doesn't do very good, as we shared together, and Israel is going and goes downhill. It doesn't enjoy the relationship to God and doesn't enjoy liberty, doesn't enjoy the freedom, doesn't enjoy the life that God has given to them in a very wonderful way. So, in the process, as we go down, look at everything and going down and looking at trusting God to help us in every way. Therefore, Israel's specialness, as we shared. Chapter 31. What else do we know? Israel chapter 31. And picking up, I may. And you will notice it. And note it. We did it the other day. Or we may have even done it today. Chapter 31, reminding you, here's Israel before they cross the Jordan. And are they in a mood and movement to be able to enjoy the wonderful liberty after 40 years in the wilderness? Are they in the place? So Moses is going to pass on. They're going to cross the Jordan. So chapter 31, picking up if I can, 31. And you'll notice in going in the light of, remember the Bible is placed outside the ark so that they can know God's word. I'll read it, verse 26, so what's the sense in saying that? Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Why? That it may be there for a witness against thee. In other words, here's all of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you're going to be a different, wonderful people because of God and his word. But if you don't honor God and his word, here's the Bible sitting there. Look at it. You aren't obeying it, and that's why you're in trouble. So, and you went down, as remember, verse 27, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, how much more after my death? And so we have the, and keeping in the context, is again moving down, verse 29. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you have done evil in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now, what's Moses saying? You aren't going to get any, you're going to go down the hill, you're not going to get better. That's why you're going to go from Joshua to the book of Judges. Why are you going to go? Because the people's heart is not really locked in to liberty. It hasn't locked it in. Here, and just jumping way ahead, here's our country. Here we are in a anniversary for the 4th of July, almost 250 years. And what are we looking at? We don't have a people aren't all excited about the word liberty, the understanding of the word liberty, the practice of the word liberty. It just isn't found hardly very much, and not very much. It isn't understood. Here's the Declaration, and here's the Constitution. Pretty little. Washington does. If they're going to tell you how to take care of your cat, they'll take 10,000 pages. 10,000 pages on both sides to take care of your cat. I'm just kidding, but you get the idea. Whenever you hear a document up there, it's thousands of pages. That's why I don't suggest you become a congressman or something, because you better be a good reader. That's all I can say. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God tells us so. And so in the light of that, God, what do? You have the Sabbath day, the law, you got to help them, because the Sabbath day, every 7 days, you're going to stop everything you're doing and rest. Every seventh day, you're going to stop and rest. Every seventh year, you're going to stop and rest. You're literally going to stop for a whole, actually 2 years, 49 and 50. But 2 years, you're going to rest a whole year. You're going to do nothing. You don't have to plant. You don't have to do anything. I'll make sure you have everything that you need without you doing anything. No work. You're just going to enjoy rest, Sabbath, rest. That's what you're going to do for a whole year. Do nothing. I'll take care of you. Wow, for a whole year. Now, but the seventh day, well, we do that a little bit. The seventh year, we don't do that. No, God really wouldn't do that. And who's going to take care of my business for a whole year? Is God going to do it? I've got to sell more stuff in my store. I don't want to close my store for a year. No, I don't want to stop. I got to keep going. So what are we doing here? So all these 7 years. That's why the 70-year captivity for Israel, for every seventh year, you'd never rested. 490 years, you never rested. So therefore, what's the word we're after with that little bit of background? Over to Leviticus chapter 25. And in Leviticus in chapter 25, remember now, here's all the sacrifices and the holy days, the holy feast days, and in this particular one, chapter 25, picking up, please, in verse 8, we aren't going to read it for time's sake. You're going to be, it's what it's called, the feast. I'll read it, verse 8. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths, that's 49 years, unto the space of the seven Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 17th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So here's the word Jubilee. The word Jubilee is going to be there. and in exercising the jubilee, the shout of joy, triumph. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to do it on the 50th year. Verse 10, and you shall hallow, set apart, sanctify the 50th year, and proclaim liberty through all the land unto the inhabitant, all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee, a wonderful time of joy and triumph. It's a wonderful time. What did John Adams? He said, what are we going to do with this 4th of July? He said, shoot the fireworks off and beat the drum and shout for joy. That's what he said. It's an awesome thing that we have done. You won't find it anywhere else in the world. You won't even find it in history, apart from God's word. Wow. And it's yours. It's ours. Now, having said that, I want to get sidetracked. Now, in the process, you're going to go and set it apart, and every man, and I'll read verse 10 again, in the middle, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. In other words, you're going to do what normally does, and you're going to do the business the way you do it. You're going to think the way you do, and you're going to end up owing people. You're going to end up having to sell your land. You're going to have to, God gave them each a piece of property. You're going to have to rent your property, sell your property into whatever bondage. The whole thing's going to lose. It's wonderful, wonderful what? God has everyone in his place. Each one in their place is to enjoy God's place for them in a very special way. But our human nature messes the whole thing up. So every 50th year, what are you going to do? Everything goes back together. You can mess it up for 49 years, but on the 50th year, make sure everything's back where it's supposed to be. So now, having said that, slide over. Wonderful, wonderful. This is liberty. And slide over to verse 23. Leviticus 25 and 23. And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are the strangers, you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land, verse 24, and in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. And keep reading the whole thing. God, everything has to go back to where it's supposed to. You have to go back to your own bedroom, back to your own garden. Everything has to go back. Everything has to be put back in order. God gave it, and you were to enjoy the liberty of your piece of property and their possessions, and God would take care of you, period. And then that's what you're supposed to have. That's the liberty. That's what the freedom, that's what God has given to us, each human. So when you mess it up, God said every 50 years, we're going to at least put it all back in order. Now, what do you know? Now, they didn't do 7 years of resting, rest a whole year, let alone are they going to do it. So when we come to the year of Jubilee, you'll go through history and you'll keep looking and looking. When are you going to celebrate the year of Jubilee? Zedekiah, remember, in Jeremiah 34, I think, he was all concerned about Nebuchadnezzar coming and getting him, and therefore he wanted the nation to be comfortable with Zedekiah, who was doing wrong things. They wanted him to be, so what did he do? He announced, It's the liberty. That's right. He announced the jubilee, liberty. It wasn't even liberty, but he just did it. But who cares if you don't know what you're doing? You can say anything you want, and that's what he did. It's liberty. Everyone's free. And if you've been a servant to somebody, you're free. Jeremiah was let out of jail because of it. Let out of jail. He was free. Everyone's free. And the next thing you know, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, changing, and Zedekiah cancels the whole thing. Zedekiah was in trouble, but there's no place traveling down the road of history for the Jubilee. When are we going to put everything back in order? When do we do that? When do we do it? It isn't done. It isn't done. Liberty, wonderful liberty. When our founding fathers went and did what they did in our founding of our country, you'll remember if you would, in the Liberty Bell down there in Pennsylvania, in the Liberty Bell after the signing of this declaration, 4 days later, the bell banged away. What does it say in the bell? The little bell. What does it say in that bell? It says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That's what it does. Leviticus 25, verse 10. Written by day, can't miss it. When did they have that? Before they did the declaration, they had it. They knew. They were influenced. They knew something. They were going for it. That's why they signed the declaration. They knew there was one thing some wonderful God has done for us. And we aren't going to forfeit it. We aren't going to give it up. We aren't quitting. And like Patrick Henry, like we shared this morning, Patrick Henry in Virginia, 1775, at his end of his speech to the Congress, to the convention, give me liberty or give me death, one or the other. I don't want death. I already had that, and I've tasted liberty. I don't ever want to go back to death. And hopefully, as we are saved, that's one of the simple little things we've said over 100 years. What is that? Learn enough. Go forward enough. Get enough into your head and heart that you grab hold of what God has done for you and what you're able to enjoy, and grab it in such a way that you won't let it go. I want what God wants for my life. I want what God wants. But other things happen, change my life, work, home, school, family, and off I go. No, don't do that, because you will do it. But you hang in there until you're fixed on the target. And I'm not letting go for nobody. And you remember back then when we shared all these things, I had men come to me and say, I'm not letting go. I want to get so far into God's wonderful will. I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to stop. And you change everything in my system, but you aren't changing me. And you aren't changing God. And you can't change God. I'm going for it, God. That's what he wants. Does that make sense to you? That's what you want. Most people don't do that. Most Christians, I'm not saying they aren't saved. They never get there. Obviously, they never get there. Obviously, they never get there. How far do you have to go in your travels to hear that, see that? They never get there. Could, but they don't. They don't. Now, so, the Liberty Bell. And by the way, when we're looking at the Liberty Bell, before they even sign the declaration. And what else do we know? When think everything about us. We pledge allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America, to the republic for which we stand, one nation under God, with liberty, and justice for all. Every time you say the Pledge of Allegiance, with liberty, you don't say democracy, you say liberty. With liberty and liberty and justice for all. You say it every time. Pledge of Allegiance. Well, now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you can, if you will. So, looking at it, so God, you got to help us. That's why, now, put another little piece that may help. We did it this morning. Isaiah 61, book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61. And God pointing to God's wonderful plan of redemption, our Savior, and just reminding what he said. What is his ministry? What is the ministry of our Lord? To save us, to set us free. And therefore, chapter 61, Isaiah, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings, the gospel, unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim, what? Liberty. Liberty. Keep saying it. That's right. That's what it's about. It's about being set free by God's saving grace on Calvary's cross. Let me finish the verse. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So God, you're going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing to help us in every way. Now, having said that, now add to that, keeping that, if you want, in your mind, John chapter 15. John in chapter 15. And our Lord, who proclaimed liberty, who preached liberty, who came to set us free, tells us what else? That goes with liberty. What goes with liberty? What belongs with it? Jubilee, joy, wonderful joy. Therefore, chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, said our Lord, in the upper room. Why? That my joy might remain where? In you. And that your joy may be full. And he's going to say the same thing. He's going to tell us all over again. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I want you to have a unique communion and fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Why? That your joy may be full. I want your joy to be full. Where am I going to get this joy? With the fellowship and communion with the Father. That's what you're going to do. When we take communion, we're reminding ourselves of our relationship to God and that we have been set at liberty. Free to talk to God, to know God, to be saved in a most wonderful, 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 wonderful way. Now, so here's this jubilee, the shout of joy, triumph, and the blowing of the ram's horn, all of that. And the trouble is, you know, in all of that, well, I won't even do that yet. Over to Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. What else would our dear founding fathers know? What would the country know? The 13 colonies influenced our founding fathers, Washington and Adams and Jefferson, and each one of them. He went and influenced them. The 13 colonies, they're going to church, they're hearing, reading. And this is what they were caught up in. It's a wonderful thing. And so they want to go for it. That's why they signed the Declaration. That's why they went to war, because it was worth every drop of blood that would be spilt. What to have is worth dying for, Patrick Henry. It's worth dying for. So, Romans chapter 8, I was a believer back then. Here we are reading. So therefore, in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's the whole point of liberty, to set you free from bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. All creation, the bugs, the weeds, the flowers, they're all waiting to stop having to eat each other up, and diseases and everything. God is just waiting to get free. Why did that happen? The Garden of Eden, and before Adam sinned, you didn't have to weed. You didn't have to go out and do. Do you understand? It was just good. Just plain good. It was plain good. Sin came along. It affected you. God cursed the ground, so Genesis 3, to help us understand that you need to be saved. So the ground isn't going to be nice to us anymore. And the birds and the feathers and the birds and feathers and animals and diseases and everything, it's all there. Why is it there? Because of our sin. God let it happen to remind us. So there's no way to go very far, to do plant something, to watch the weeds grow. You say, I got all the weeds. But somehow, the weeds have a network, spy network, and they just know where there's a piece of ground. And the weeds just come and find every place. They find everything. They just know where to go. And you pull the weed up, and another weed comes. They just do it. Wow. Now, so having said that, and you keep reading just a little more, but not much. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves. Also, we want to be rescued from these bodies, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're looking for God's wonderful saving grace to deal with our head and deal with our heart. So God, here we are coming. And now our time is gone. But here's just a half a thought to try to bring it together. I was going to read in the declaration, going to read near the end, the paragraph, and I'll read it, a little bit of it. Now, what are they going to do? These signers are going to sign. They're going to sign. When they sign, they realize they put their life on the line. In fact, no one was to know who signed it for at least 6 months. No one would know. No one know who signed it. And let him say, John Hancock did, but apart from that, it's already dead. So what do we got? Got to hide it. They were afraid if the British got a hold of that list, they'd hunt them all down and kill them. That's what they knew. So now, here's the paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Jumping down further, much further. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude, the straightness. We're straight. We're right. We're straight down the line. We're straight, God, coming to you. We aren't mixed up. We're coming to you with a whole heart, and we're as sincere as can be, and we're going to hang in there. God, we mean what we're saying. We're looking to you, the judge. So, therefore, rectitude of our intentions to do in the name of and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, independent, so that they can be dependent. That's the whole purpose of the independent, our Declaration of Independence. It's about our dependence upon God. And therefore, for the support of this declaration, the end, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. God, you got to make it work. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And on August 2nd, 61 of them signed. 61 signed. A little more are going to sign after that. Wow, that's what they did. We're going to do it. God, you got to help us. So here we got this declaration. The declaration is based on God's word. So, but our country and the average everybody, too many of us, really don't pay attention to this little book. We don't pay attention. But they may not pay attention, and our senators and congressmen and mayors and others may not. May make a fool of it, but when they don't do this and they put this aside and don't believe it, what do you still have? What is this resting on? God's word. It's from God's word, resting on God's word. That's what they did. So it's resting on God's word. And when they take it all away, you still have God's word. And you still have liberty. This doesn't make it go away. God has given it in his word, and it is finished. He went to the cross in chapter 19 in that of John, and he said, "It is finished. I'm finished!" Exclamation point. It's done. They signed their name. Exclamation point. We signed it and we're committed to our death, to honor it. That's commitment. That's the kind of people you want. That's what God's looking for. Are you really sold on me, said God, to follow me, to love me, and let me be your God? Liberty, 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 liberty. And the truth will set you free.